Later on in the program, we will be speaking of the arts, and we're also going to hear a short conversation with Helen Milanfi talking about her new book. Right now, I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative update.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Good morning. So we are 1 week away from the end of the legislature, and there's a lot of pressing issues, and one of them, which for whatever reason we just can't stop talking about, is the issue of immigrant driver's licenses. What's going on?
Well, it's very controversial, as we've known for years since the bill was originally passed, and every year this is one of the hottest topics in the legislature. And at the point where we were 2 days ago, all the bills had been tabled in a committee, in committees, in various committees. And
right.
That means that that's the end of the bill. Well, 2 days ago, the House blasted the bill out of committee. And that means they get enough votes on the floor to remove the bill from that committee and bring it to the floor as the next order of business, or put it on the speaker's table. So the bill that we're talking about is a real ID bill, and a bill that totally repeals the immigrant driver's license and just allows driver's licenses for the young people that are here with their undocumented parents, and they're also undocumented. But the problem was it had three committee assignments. It was tabled in the first committee, and they blasted it out of that committee, and then they blasted it out of the second committee, because you have to remove it from every committee.
Don't they know when they've lost?
Well, they've won so far.
I know, but I mean, they have to use nefarious means.
Yeah, well. And then it's stuck in the third committee, which is House Appropriations, and there is tentatively scheduled a hearing on this bill on Saturday.
And What happens if it passes House Appropriations?
Well, if it passes House Appropriations, it will go back to the whole floor, get on the calendar, the agenda for the day of the House, and then there will be a three-hour debate, and it's quite possible it will pass out. And there were some better compromise bills which kept immigrant driver's licenses somewhat intact, because to me it seems important to have people who live here being able to drive legally and have insurance. But this is absolutely one of the worst bills, and this is the bill that possibly could pass if it gets out of House Appropriations and gets on the floor of the House.
We're a week away from the end of the legislature. Then it would have to go through three Senate committees?
Well, it would have to go through two Senate committees. But once a bill like this has been blasted in one chamber, then the opportunity is there and the enthusiasm is there to pass it out and blast it out of a Senate committee if it were to be tabled in that Senate committee.
Is this the only, besides hydraulic fracturing, is this the only blasting that we see, I mean, in the legislature? Is this the only thing where they blast?
This is a popular bill to try to blast. Sometimes abortion bills, parental notification bills are attempted to be blasted, but usually they don't succeed because the party in control says we need to stick to the process. And the process is you go to a committee. If you get tabled in the committee, then that's the end of the bill. But these controversial bills often have what are called blast attempts.
Okay. Because I've never heard the term except applied to immigrant driver's license bills.
Yeah, but it happens to other bills.
Okay.
Gay bills have been attempted to be blasted.
Let's talk about guns.
Guns. Well, you know, House Bill 77, which we've talked about here before, which is simply a background check bill, that if you're buying a gun in a gun show, that you have to have a background check. And that it passed that way out of the House of Representatives. It went into the Senate Public Affairs Committee, got tabled, but that's a bill that could also be blasted. But what's probably going to happen with that is it was tabled, and one of the senators wanted a little fix on it. I'm not sure what that fix was. So that may actually come out of that Senate Public Affairs Committee, go to the next committee, and actually pass the Senate.
And that's the background check bill, which we've talked about on this program, that basically, it's funny, It's like people want you to be able to have a to take a driver's test and know traffic regulations if you're going to drive a car, but they don't want any regulations on owning a gun.
Right, right. Well, and here's the irony that I see, that we would, that Republicans would be supporting a real ID bill, which 30 states have said, we're not passing no stinking real ID bill. Like, five states have actually passed laws saying no real ID bill. And then, that, I mean, it's kind of like a national ID card to have everybody have this uniform driver's license with the information that the feds want. And yet, the inconsistency of wanting that but not wanting a background check for someone to buy guns.
Right.
It's
very strange.
What it is, yes.
All right, so let's talk about the minimum wage.
Okay, a bill passed the Senate raising the minimum wage and to $8.50 an hour, just like Albuquerque just did with their referendum in the last election. But this bill is not quite what it appears to be, because there were some amendments put on the bill. So there's a one-year training wage, which could be at $7.50 an hour instead of the $8.50. And then there is an exemption for employers with less than 11 employees. So they would not have to pay the minimum wage. So a lot of the advocates for increasing the minimum wage are very upset, because two-thirds or more of the businesses in New Mexico have less than 11 employees.
Right.
So this bill passed out of the Senate, and it's over in the House, and we'll see what happens to it. I don't imagine that the governor would sign it even in its current state, because that would make us the fourth highest minimum wage in the country, which, you know, $8.50 doesn't sound like much.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put on my Facebook page the very beautiful video I saw yesterday about the distribution of wealth in the United States. I mean, it's really, really, really bad. Anyway, let's talk about higher education.
Okay. In higher education, we have, I just wanted to talk about a couple of bills, and one that's particularly of interest to the senior citizens who take courses at the Santa Fe Community College.
Okay.
And take courses in the in our fitness center. All of our health and fitness courses, we were told at the college by the higher education department that we had to stop letting seniors take our physical education courses and get the state payment for it, so that the college, you know, everyone can sign up for courses, but we weren't going to get the payment for higher education that matches our tuition payments at the college. And so, of course, our seniors were really upset, because suddenly, if they were auditing the course, the college wasn't going to get paid. And we couldn't afford to let them continue to audit the course and not get paid, so we told them they had to either pay an extra fee or that they have to take the course for credit. And if they fail, who cares? Because they're not seeking degrees anyway. Well, a lot of the seniors said, it's a matter of honor, I don't want to get an F. And so Brian Egoff, in response to that, passed a bill that tells the higher education department that they have to pay us at the college even for audited courses. And that bill passed the House almost unanimously.
Okay.
So now it goes to the Senate. And then we have another important bill that just passed the House related to higher education, and it requires that private colleges now register with the higher education department so that they can prove their quality of education programs, so that they have to adopt a procedure for resolution of student complaints. You know, we've had a proliferation of private colleges in New Mexico and everywhere, and part of it is because our public schools cannot meet the demand, particularly of healthcare providers. But we've also had some people graduating from private colleges who then can't get jobs. And so part of this is to make the higher education department have to mandate some higher accountability of these private schools.
Ah, very interesting. Straight party voting.
In 2010, for some reason, we got rid in some law that we passed related to elections, and I think it was accidental, that we got rid of straight party voting. And so in 2012, there was no more straight party voting, and a lot of people were upset because in 2010, 23% of Democrats voted straight party line and 18% of Republicans. And the Democrats particularly were quite concerned about this. So a bill has passed the Senate that brings straight party voting, so you can just push that one dot or fill in that one dot on your ballot to vote for the party. And we'll see how that does in the House of Representatives.
And what else? There's a public defender's office related bill.
Yes, remember in the last election, there were several issues on the ballot for the voters to determine. One had to do with the Public Regulation Commission and the insurance division separating that out.
That's right.
And one had to do with creating an independent public defender office, because currently the public defender is an appointed position under the governor. And there was some feeling that this should be a separate office. And the public obviously thought so too, because they voted to create that independent office. But when things pass on the ballot, then the legislature in the next legislative session has to pass a law that implements whatever that issue was, whatever that constitutional amendment was. So a bill just passed the House of Representatives a couple days ago to create the Public Defender Office. And what it does is creates an 11-member commission that has appointees from the governor, from the legislature, from the Supreme Court, and from the UNM dean of the law school. And this 11-member commission will interview and hire the chief public defender of the state. So that was an important issue for a lot of the attorneys and judges in the state.
So, let's see. Pensions, isn't it?
Pensions. That's a hot issue. We've been talking about it for several years, how PERA, which is the state employees, county employees, municipal employees, pension fund, and then the ERB, which is the public schools and the colleges and universities, both of those funds were deficient. And the PERA fund was about $6 billion short if they would have had to for future payouts. So they have been wrestling with this issue for several years. Finally, we got a compromise this year, and it's passed out of the Senate and gone over to the House. It's a compromise that nobody likes, pretty much, so it's probably a good one because everyone's unhappy with it, but they're happy enough to make it pass. And it requires that the employees are going to be paying a little bit more every year into their pension. The state will pay a little bit more. The employees really wanted, the employees' unions and other groups really wanted the state to pay a higher percentage, but the governor said she would only support a 0.4 increase of the employer payment. So that's the bill that they sent. And the other thing they did was reduced the annual cost of living increase, since it hasn't been increasing so much in the last few years because we've been in recession. This will decrease that for a short period of time. So this is a very important bill, and we really need it to pass out of the House.
And basically, it would fix the problem.
It would shore it up much better. It doesn't totally fix the problem, but it's the beginning of the fix. It's a significant, very significant fix, and it's something that we really need to do so that we can protect our state employees, county, local employees, pension plan. And we're waiting for the ERB one to come. I think we're waiting for it to come out of the House over to the Senate.
Okay. Now, stem cells.
Yes, this is a very interesting bill that a Republican senator has introduced a number of times, not been able to get through. It would allow stem cell research of donated embryos. And it's something that researchers are doing. We're not able to do it in New Mexico because it's not legal. But it actually passed, that bill actually passed out of the Senate once again. I think it's passed out of the Senate several times. So it would allow couples who had deposited embryos at an infertility clinic to donate those embryos to research. Now, research is going on anyway, but this would specifically allow New Mexicans who have done that to donate those embryos.
I will tell you one thing. Stem cell therapy is proving to be really effective for a lot of conditions.
Yes. And of course, unfortunately, this becomes very political, and certain religious organizations, particularly the Catholic Church, oppose the use of embryos for stem cell research.
It'll be interesting to see what happens when that kind of therapy becomes more common and people say, gee, I can walk again.
Mm. Yeah, well, a lot of, as you say, a lot of people are being healed and helped by the use of stem cells.
Yeah.
They don't all have to come from embryos.
Right. It sort of reminds me a little bit of antibiotics. Years ago, there was a political cartoon where doctors said, do you want the evolutionary antibiotics or the creationist antibiotics? Anyway, okay, let's see. One more thing. Lottery scholarships.
Yes. Now, that is very important to community colleges and colleges and universities in the state. And years ago, we created the lottery scholarship. And all of you who buy lottery tickets, you are contributing to our college students. But because tuitions have been increasing at colleges and universities, particularly the universities, at the community colleges, we intentionally keep our tuition rates really low so that we can serve students. But colleges and universities, because of their expanded needs and reduced money, have had to raise their tuitions. And when you raise your tuition, it means more money comes out of the lottery scholarship, because we've guaranteed students who graduate from Santa Fe Public Schools to be able to complete their degrees within a certain period of time utilizing the lottery scholarship. Well, the lottery scholarship is in big trouble. We're millions of dollars short. So there have been a couple of bills introduced to try to shore up the fund. One of them is a bill that actually raids the tobacco settlement permanent fund allocation and puts about $10 million into the lottery scholarship. And then another bill is one that has already passed the House. The bill to raid the tobacco fund has passed the Senate. The bill that's passed the House actually reduces the eligibility of the four-year student, the person who's going to the four-year college and university will have to pay a bigger share of their tuition, and then it guarantees the payment for finishing your degree at the community college level. So the four-year colleges don't really like that bill, even though we at the community colleges do like it.
Right, right. Well, that is a lot of stuff, and next week is the end. It'll be our last legislative update, although we will have a legislative wrap-up.
Oh, goody.
And so have things started getting, like, super busy and crazy over there?
Oh, yeah. They'll be meeting all this weekend. They'll be meeting every night next week because the session ends at noon on Saturday.
And they'll be making decisions from sleep deprivation, caffeine, and sugar.
That's right.
Our democracy's at work. Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Helen Malamphy. She is the author of the new book, Over P.J. Clark's Bar, Tales from New York City's Famous Saloon. And she will be speaking at Garcia Street Books on Sunday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, at 2 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's delightful to be here.
So this is a collection of family stories, kind of a memoir, centering around your uncle, your great-uncle, who was a New York Irish saloon owner. How did you come to write this book?
Well, as the title says, over P.J. Clark's, my father and his five brothers lived with their parents over the bar from 1917 to 1937. And it always fascinated me that they that was their home. And we used, as a child, I went there and entered the bar through the ladies' entrance on the side of 55th Street because Uncle PJ did not want prostitutes to hang out in his bar. And it was customary in Irish bars sometimes to exclude women completely, but in his case, he allowed women to sit in the back room after entering through the side entrance. So that was also fascinating to me. And the bar became very famous. It was, at first, was just a bar for local customers. But in 1944, The Lost Weekend, a very famous film about an alcoholic writer with Ray Milland, an Academy Award film, was made at the bar. And that began its climb to fame. And it was on the New Yorker cover in 1971. People began to gather there, rather famous folks, the Rat Pack, Marilyn Monroe, the Kennedys loved the place. And apparently Mrs. Kennedy was proposed to by Onassis at P.J. Clark's bar. So there's lots of great stories about the place. My granduncle died in 44, and my uncle Charlie, his nephew, became the manager under the new ownership. And that meant that we still had a connection all the way through the 90s. And at one point, my own husband, John Malanfi, worked with Uncle Charlie there during his college years. So I had a bird's eye view of the place. And I've wanted to write this book for a long, long time.
Now, his saloon survived Prohibition. How did he do that?
Yes, he had to make a difficult decision, you know, shut down. Many bar owners did become grocery stores. So he made the decision to keep it going. And as I understand it from my father's stories, there was a bathtub on the second floor of PJ's apartment where the gin was made. And then a large black car pulled up regularly with the Scotch whiskey. And the green shades were shut down. And, of course, there were payoffs to the police during that period.
Right, right. Now, what was he like as a person?
Very gregarious, as I remember him. Very welcoming, very warm-hearted. But loved that bar. I mean, he invested in property on Long Island, but he never went there. That was his home. And as a bachelor, he was a bachelor. And he was a regular churchgoer. He didn't like fights in his bar. He didn't want any, you know, people from the criminal background hanging out. He was very proud of what he did, I would say. He felt it was, in his period, it was a place for the working man to come and, you know, have a beer before going on home.
What did you take away from the process of writing this memoir?
Well, it's been a long time in the coming and had several, evolutions. And I really found as I wrote it that there's so much that a modern person looking at this could take away. Immigration continues in our country. What happens to an immigrant when they come? Uncle Patty came with $5 in his pocket. How do you move on ahead? And certainly tenement life, big thing in New York City. And then finally, the prohibition period really made me think about the prohibition of marijuana. There are so many historical similarities between the process of prohibiting it and then gradually legalizing it. Then.
Right. Now, the book is called Over P.J. Clark's Bar, Tales from New York City's Famous Saloon. And you wrote this, Helen, as under your maiden name, Helen Marie Clark,
yes.
It's called Over P.J. Clark's Bar.
Yes.
And you will be celebrating St. Patrick's Day by doing a book signing and reading at Garcia Street Books on Sunday, March 17th. That's St. Patrick's Day at 2 in the afternoon.
That's right. We'll hope people will come out and hear about this wonderful saloon.
Well,
that still exists.
That still exists in New York City, and it is on the corner of 55th Street and 3rd Avenue in New York City. Thank you for being with us, Helen, on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
And I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott.
Where is that guy?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. He is with the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's an education reporter, also speaking of the arts every once in a while here on KSFR on the
Radio Cafe.
I like
when you call me at like 5:30 in the morning and I'm like sleeping with my dog Rio. And it's like, Robert, can you come out of the chair? I'm sleeping. And you're like, come on, get out of bed.
So, yeah, like I ever have done that ever. Like I've ever seen the light of 5:30 in my entire life.
Remember the last time I was here, there was that big brawl in the
Except
cafe
from the other side.
Female wrestlers chased me and I let them catch me.
Uh-huh.
What do you know about Sincerely Peggy Lee?
Less than you.
Christine Miranda. I love that name. It's like Carmen Miranda's sister or something. Christine Miranda sings the Peggy Lee songbook with the Burt Dalton Trio. This
nice.
Is going to be good. Yeah, it's going to be Sunday at 6 p.m. Seating starts at 5:30 and Monday at 7:15 p.m. at La Casa Siena Cantina.
Sena.
Yeah, that too. Hey, we should tell people, by the way.
That's Siena is in Italy.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did they move the production over to Italy? That should be right here in Santa Fe.
That's what I'm saying.
See it. We should tell people that I just said this is on Sunday, but remember, isn't tomorrow night time change?
Tomorrow night, we set the clocks forward, which means the KSFR Fun Drive, which is next week, will be happening at, well, this show, 8 o'clock, but it'll feel like 7.
So it's we lose an hour of sleep.
We lose an hour of sleep, but then we gain it back in October, actually November, because the Candy Lobby made it after Halloween.
I got to wait 7 months to get back my hour of sleep? What kind of mathematics is this?
Well, you know, what you can do is just go to bed an hour earlier.
Go to bed in that. Thanks. You're making me... Okay, you're going to throw me off the show, but I'm not making this up. Photo Eye Gallery has the nude, classical, cultural, and contemporary.
Why would I throw you off the show?
Because whenever I bring up something bare or nude or naked, you get embarrassed.
I do?
Yes.
Why is it that you're the one who's blushing?
Because now you're making you're focusing on me in front of everybody. It's embarrassing. Anyway, it's through April 20th at Photo Eye, and I promise you won't see me over there because I'm going to go early. It's on Garcia Street. There's a good story in today's Pasatiempo by Michael Abete Marcos. So I'm using Pasatiempo, of course, as the gauge of what's happening in the arts.
Because it's Friday's Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I know. And
it's
I write for them less and less, but I'm still in there once in a while. Rob DeWalt did a really good Q&A with Andrew Halliday, and he's with the... In a strange way, they were called the Ladies from Hell during World War One, but it's the Black Watch, and they're a great Scottish pipe and drums group that always fought in battles. And during World War One, they were so fierce, but they also wore the kilts. So the Germans used to nickname them the Ladies from Hell because they had great respect for them, but at the same time, they were sort of aware. So they're coming to the Lenzic Monday at 7:30, and this sounds terrific. Rob did a great interview with one of them, one of their leaders, talking about the combination of taking part in combat but always being ready to play. It's a great little Q&A, and it's page 42. But again, they're at the Lenzic, the pipes and drums of the Black Watch, 3rd Battalion of the Royal Regiment of Scotland.
Excellent.
Santa Fe Concert Association is doing this. 7:30 Monday, you got to pay to get in. We all know the number to the Lenzic, but I love to say phone numbers.
988-1234.
I do it like it's jingle bells.
And this week, we have a cat of the week, as we have every week.
Oh, boy, I'm going to start purring.
And this one is called Kichari. And Kichari is a little kitty that would be happy in a home with other cats or people who want a very sweet and easygoing cat. He's a handsome kitty with a short coat and brown tabby markings.
Wait a minute, that sounds like me. I got a short coat and I'm kind of handsome.
Do you have brown tabby markings?
You want to look?
No. But the number that you can call to get the cat...
Now who's blushing?
...is area code 505-316-2281, or you can go to... Felines and Friends, New Mexico, FNFNM.org.
Would you be kind enough to tell me his name again?
Kichari.
Does that mean anything? We don't know.
It means kitty in Mongolian.
So you got to go to Mongolia to get the cat.
No.
To see the Peggy Lee show. This is amazing. It's the international show. That's cute. Okay. Tonight, okay, Cold Water. I haven't been able to go see it yet.
Oh, I want to go see that. Is this the last weekend?
Yes. It's a documentary theater piece by the Santa Fe University of Art and Design based on the sort of the history of the Agua Fria village. And they interviewed real-life people that live there still, And they put together a really interesting play. I've read it, and I've seen part of it in a rehearsal and talked to the kids, and I talked to some of the real-life people. It's 7 o'clock. They moved up the time on the show. That's been happening more and more in this town. 7 o'clock at the Greer Garson Theater tonight and tomorrow. Got to pay to get in. That's over at University of Art and Design, 1600 St. Michael's. Check the PASA calendars for it. I think the show is only about 80 minutes long without intermission, so I believe there would be a 2 p.m. matinee on Sunday.
Excellent. And local filmmaker Renee Roberts and Nancy Dickerson will be screening their film Rooted Lands, and we did an interview on that when it screened for the Santa Fe Farmers Market, but there's another screening of it on Thursday of next week, March 14th, at La Tienda Performance Space, or the Performance Space at La Tienda in El Dorado. For more information, you can go to realnewmexico.com, R-E-E-L, or you can go to rootedlands.com.
That's good. I don't know if you, growing up, thought this was a good musical, but actually I never liked it. But having said that, people love it, and it's coming to the Lenzic, Fiddle Around the Roof.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be there tomorrow night and Sunday matinee. And, no, pardon me, it's just Sunday. I got that wrong, I think. It's 7:30 p.m. at the Lenzic, 988-1234. It's a touring company. I'm sure it'll be great, but it was never one that I saw the movie, and then I just never got caught into it. I saw one of the theater shows, but
it's good though. It's good music.
Yeah,
it's good story.
People like it, but yeah, it's not my sort of thing. It's like My Fair Lady. I never got into that one.
Oh,
but
really?
There's a couple of good songs, you know.
The Rain in Spain.
Yeah, I could see you playing that gal, and me trying to keep.
Yeah, me and Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, we'd have to turn it around if it was you and me. You'd have to be the Pygmalion person that tries to turn me into a cultured person.
Yeah, that's right. Funny. I would have to get you to use the object pronoun correctly.
And they say, why aren't you on the show, right? Why don't you do the show more? It's often said I write well, but I do not speak well, which is very unusual.
It's great to have you around, Robert Knott.
I'm glad. Stop touching my arm. It's so cute. Stop it.
No, that's the kitty.
Tell them the little gift you gave me.
That's Kachari.
Don't lie.
Let's talk about what's going on at Collected Works Bookstore.
She's embarrassed.
This Sunday, March 10th at 11 o'clock, Journey Santa Fe presents Susan Tarman, who will speak about the Violence Against Women Act, as well as speak on the topic of violence against women in New Mexico. Congress recently extended the Violence Against Women Act, and Tarman has been the coordinator of Amnesty International since 2007 with special guest Olivia Romo, a Taos native and sophomore at University of New Mexico, who will be reciting her poetry. And then on Tuesday, the 12th of March at 6 o'clock, Robert Julian will be introduced by special guest Ann Hillerman, and he'll be talking about Sweeney, his first novel. And let's see. On Thursday, March 14th at 6, in Blueprint, your bestseller, Stuart Horowitz, offers a step-by-step process for organizing and revising your manuscript, known as the Book Architecture Method. That's at 6 on Thursday, and then Friday, March 15th, an Unquenchable Thirst is a spiritual biography about a woman's coming of age and her search for her true identity. Mary Johnson was basically a nun with Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity for 20 years, and then she returned to the secular world. So that's a week from today. All of these at Collected Works Bookstore.
You mentioned the Violence Against Women event, and I'll segue that into the Teatro Paraguas play In the Time of the Butterflies. There's a really good piece by Adele Oliveira in today's Pasatiempo 46. It'll tell you a lot about it, and it's Caridad Fitch's play, and it's based on a novel. Set in 1960, and I think in the Dominican Republic. I think it's going to be a great piece. It's about that very matter. I don't want to give too much away. Teatro Progress is opening it at 7:30 tonight. It's 7:30 Saturday, 2 p.m. Sunday, which is pretty typical. Again, it's the days of like 8 p.m. shows have turned into 7 and 7:30, but nonetheless, it's down at their Teatro Progress studio on Calle Marie. Call 424-1601, check out teatropatagras.org online, look at the Pasatiempo. The show runs for 2 weeks. I think it's going to be pretty interesting.
You know, the 7 o'clock show thing is the worst of both worlds. Because first of all, you have to hurry to get there, and you don't have time to eat dinner before, and you still can't eat dinner afterwards because all the restaurants close at 9 or 9:30.
You know, it's strange.
So if at 8 o'clock, you can at least eat before.
Correct.
And you still can't go out because no place is open.
Well,
except for La Taverna.
I think Friday or Saturday night, if you get out at 8:30, you're going to find dinner. But there are places.
No, but if you start a show at 7, you're not going to be done by 8:30.
I'm saying if it's like 90 minutes or less. Like Cold Water is 80 minutes. So you're done by 8:15. Interesting, just as a quick side note, I found that doing 4 p.m. Sunday matinees, particularly at Warehouse 21 in the last great
That's
couple
very
years,
good.
Was great because people have all day to go do what they want, hike, get to the show, and then they're ready for 6 o'clock dinner and beer. But nonetheless, without putting down 7 or 7:30 evening shows, that's when many of them are starting. There's a new movie called Oz, the Great and Powerful. Lauren Gladden didn't like it too much for the Pasatiempo. Opens this weekend at the Regal 14. And how much did you ever pay attention to those that British series, you know, 7 Up, 14 Up?
Oh, yes. I was obsessed with that.
56 Up is running this week.
I can't believe it.
At the screen. John Bowman wrote a really good, put it completely in context, about how the filmmakers, Michael Apted, has worked on this every year, going back to the same group of kids, starting when they were 7 in 1964.
He's been working on it for 49 years.
And the kids apparently keep coming back. you know, and say, in a couple of them, as John notes in his review, I haven't seen the picture yet, you know, they make notes about, like, this is ridiculous, I'm getting tired of this fame, but they keep getting addicted to it, and they keep coming back to say, here's where I am now at 56.
And you know who doesn't come back is all the upper-class people who are in it.
Well, they got one of
the
them
middle and
back.
Working
yeah.
class people. The only time the upper class people come back is if they're trying to promote their charitable cause,
which is what I think one of them is doing this
yeah.
week. I do like to I like to showcase music when you have me on this year's show. So tonight we have at the Cowgirl, we have Teria Sanders, Soul and Funk, 5 to 7:30, followed by the Gypsy Lumberjacks at 8:30. No cover.
That's a great name.
I know. Jerry Carthy, tenor, guitar, and flute, 7 o'clock, El Cañon at the Hilton. It's a nice little bar to go sit by the fire in the wintertime. I don't tend to go there in the summer, but that's nice. And Jerry plays really great Irish music. La Casa San... Oh, we already talked about them. Well, they're doing Best of Broadway tonight, 6 o'clock. Jimmy Stadler Band is over there at La Fiesta Lounge, Americana Rock. And Nacha Mendez, hey, Nacha, is at La Posada at 6:30. Bill Hearn at the Legal Tender out there in Lamy. And Chango's at the Palace Restaurant at 9:30. You can check out the full music listings in today's Posse Tempo, but I do like to plug some of these people who are doing shows.
Hey, tonight, a one-night-only yes. performance of the Vagina Monologues at uh-huh. to celebrate. Hey, isn't today an International Women's Day?
That's probably why we have all this women lectures and violence against women stuff.
That's right, that's right. So tonight at 7 p.m. at Together Strong at 3212 Richards Lane, Suite A. That's off Richards near Home Depot. For more information, you can call 660-6188. And it's an encore performance after the sold-out show at Southwestern College last week.
All right, get this. You Are What You Wear, Costume and Character in Opera. Dorothy Baca and Emily McVeigh Lee of the Santa Fe Opera and the Community College are going to talk about costume design process at the opera. It's 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, so you got to get up early to get up there. There's going to be refreshments. You got to pay to get in. Here's a phone number, 629-1410, extension 100. So if you're interested in costumes, it's tomorrow at 9 at the opera. Do you believe you are what you wear?
No.
Okay. I like that, especially given what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, clothes are not my thing. That's why I do radio.
Yeah, most people would say clothes are not their things if they were nudists. Okay, here we go. We've got Archaeological Site Intrusions in Pueblo Migrations, a View from Pajarito Plateau Coalition Era Sites. Roy Gauthier is going to be talking about that at 6 p.m. on Monday at the Hotel Santa Fe. We actually have a story in today's paper about it in the Paso Tiempo. So if you're ever interested in that Pajarito Plateau story,
yes.
head on over there.
And tonight at Vanessi from 7:30 to closing, Paula Ray McDonald and the Andy Kingston Trio Neighborhood Block Party Free Appetizers 5 to 7. And then Sunday, David Geist, open mic from 5 to 7, and Bob Finney, popular vocal and piano favorites from 7 until closing. Vanessi is at 427 Water Street near Guadalupe.
That's good. Did you mention the Beat Fest?
No.
It's Thursday, 5 to 9 p.m. at our convention center down on Marcy Street. I think it runs through next week, and that might be the opening night of it. So, yeah, it looks like it because you can get a four-day pass. It's 5 o'clock. The Bead Fest starts Thursday night.
I love beads.
You do? Do you go to these things?
I have in the past. I haven't for a while. What you end up doing is you'll buy these sort of fabulous, unusual beads, and then you aren't sure what to do with them, like what kind of an object you're going to make out of them.
That's what happens to you?
Yeah.
I got one. I knock over a big tin of beads, and then I spill on the floor, and then people chase me, but they slip on the beads, and I get away.
That's a really great thing to do if you're in a slapstick movie.
The Beat Fest is next weekend at the convention center. You can go get tickets at the door.
What?
I'm amused, as always.
It's true.
It's always great to come on here and do comedy with you. What do you make of this? How social media may help you survive the next big disaster?
I'm going to do an interview on that during our fun drive.
What do you know about it?
Well, social media might help us avert disaster during the next disaster.
You sound like me. The girl comes on unprepared for once. Lucia Palin is going to discuss how you can get information during crises and disasters and maybe use social media to help you.
Exactly.
At 7:30.
That's what I meant.
Thursday. It's hosted by the Santa Fe Institute, but it's being held over at the Greer Garson, which again is at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design on St. Michael's Drive. I don't know. I'm looking right now at a really great little photo on a blurb for it, but I don't see whether there is a whether there's a fee to get in. I'm not sure about that.
Hey, check this out. There's a Tango-thon benefit for Lyme disease. Michelle McRuiz is DJing tango music tomorrow from 8 until 11:45 at Two Moon Tango. The number over there is 982-5833. You can also go to twomoontango.com.
I saw you.
Like TWO.
Oh, it's Two Moon.
Two Moon.
Hey, the Santa Fe Playhouse is accepting play proposals if you want to direct a play. It can't be an original. It's got to be something famous. Until the end of March. And I'm bragging because I think I'm going to put something in there.
I was going to say, that sounds like something tailor-made for Robert Knott.
I think I'm going to put in a comedy for October. I got to get that in.
Awesome.
Also, the Tony Hillerman Best First Mystery Novel Contest is going on. You might get a publishing contract with St. Martin's and a big advance, $10,000 according to this. Only authors of unpublished mysteries set in the Southwest may enter. Manuscripts must be received or postmarked by June 1st. Want more information? Check out wordharvest.com. June 1st. That gives me about 10 weeks.
To write a mystery.
I could write a mystery in 10 weeks and have an advance and be in St. Martin's Press.
Yeah, but if you wrote a mystery, people would be slipping on beads and falling on their heads and stuff. And then it wouldn't be a mystery.
There's no mystery to
that. It would be comedy.
All right, so I'll write a comedy mystery. It says nothing about that.
Hey, International
Women's... I like when you say hey. Because I do it, and now you've picked it up. Hey.
I must have picked it up from you, because no one else but you says hey. International Women's Day annual poetry reading with Debbie Brody, Ann Hunkins, Mariah Williams, and Basia Miller is Sunday at 6 o'clock at Teatro Paraguas. They are busy over there. And this year they'll be raising funds for the victims of the Bangladesh and Pakistan factory fires, which claimed over 400 lives in 2012 and which were really a repeat of the... Did you ever see that movie when you were in middle school about the Triangle Shirtwaist factory fire in New York City and these women were jumping out the windows because they didn't have doors that opened
out?
That's right, yeah. So it's kind of like that. Anyway, admissions is free, but it's a fundraiser, so donations are always welcome. And that's Sunday at 6 o'clock at Teatro Paraguas.
Now tonight, this is great if you want to get in your car and go outside and you're not necessarily going to maybe make out or neck with your gal friend. But there is a star party.
Neck.
And no, Mary Charlotte and I will not be at the star party.
Neck.
But it is a, yeah, neck.
That's such an old-fashioned word.
It's an old-fashioned word.
They're in the
word,
car necking.
Still a wonderfully contemporary action to take in the car when you're with a lady of particular distinction. There's a laser-guided tour of the night sky tonight by Ranger Peter Lipscomb, and it's going to be followed by telescopic views of Jupiter, the Orion Nebula, star clusters, and galaxies. It's 7 o'clock tonight in the Cerritos Hills State Park. It's about 16 miles south of Santa Fe. Head on down New Mexico 14. I suspect you'll find signs. The parking area is about a half mile north of the village of Cerritos. It is a small fee per vehicle, cheaper than getting into, say, a drive-in theater. I'll give you a phone number, 474-0196. Are there any drive-ins left in New Mexico? I think Las Vegas has one.
I don't know. I still miss the Yucca Drive-In.
I know.
And it's a beautiful sign.
The Yucca Drive-In was great. Did you go to the drive-ins as a kid?
A few times.
Did you make out and neck?
No, my dad took me when I was like 11.
What, you went once when you were 11?
Well, we didn't have that many in Poughkeepsie. But we went a few times, and I remember specifically going to a Woody Allen movie.
Which one?
I can't remember.
Okay. I saw, I saw the one where he's in South America, Bananas, at a drive-in. I think it was on a double feature with a John Wayne western.
Hey, what's happening at the movies? Amour is still at the CCA, as is Searching for Sugar Man, and A Place at the Table. Harvest of Empire, was that? That was only there, I think last night. That's too bad. Because that's a good movie.
Argo's still around. I haven't seen it at Regal de Vargas. Bless Me Ultima, based on Rodolfo Nayo's novel, is still around up at the Española Dreamcatcher. Jack the Giant Slayer, getting bad reviews and bad box office, is at Regal 14. The Life of Pi, with the tiger and the kid, is still at Regal 14. There's a new movie about Tommy Lee Jones as MacArthur, dealing with the Japanese emperor at the end of World War II, called Emperor.
Okay.
That opens at Regal de Vargas. I don't know anything about it. And Silver Linings Playbook, a very interesting, funny, serious movie, is at the Vargas. And of course, we already talked about 56 up. So yeah, there's still a lot.
Where's
going
56
on.
Up playing? At the screen.
I think it's a screen. Yeah.
Okay.
It's got to be the screen. I should have known that. So yeah, it's a screen along with Happy People.
Along with Happy People, and there's some films coming up next week.
Lannon's doing something.
Okay. Talk about Lannon. Oh, Barbara Ehrenreich.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to come on and talk about, what, economics?
I love her. Yeah, she was the one who wrote Nickel and Dimed in America. She wrote a lot of books in the 80s that were incredibly important and interesting. She's a wonderful writer. She's very funny in a kind of dry, somewhat cynical kind of way. And she's just a brilliant writer about social issues, economic issues, women's issues, and she'll be the Lannon on at the Lensic on Wednesday night.
7 o'clock.
It's part of the Lannon Foundation's series, In Search of Cultural Freedom, and can't miss that one.
And it's Alternative Radio's host, David
Barsamian.
Yeah, he's going to be hosting with her. It's always inexpensive to get in. Quite often they sell out. 988-1234. Check out Jennifer Levin's story on this in today's Pasatiempo.
And it's sort of worth going at the end anyway. I mean, if you can't get a ticket, it's worth going, showing up just and see if you can get a ticket at the last minute.
Oh, you mean you might, even if you stand outside, you might get
in. If you stand outside, you might get in. Or if you go inside and say, hey, do you have any tickets really, really, really? Sometimes somebody has given one back.
Hey, is it supposed to snow this weekend?
I don't know.
Huh. Well, at least we got the time change stuff in. Okay, you know I like cowboys. I'm not a cowboy myself, though people call me cowboy because I wear the black hat. But there is an exhibit over at the New Mexico History Museum opening called Cowboys Real and Imagined.
Yeah.
And in precipitation of this, Don Edwards is going to perform in the auditorium over there at 2 o'clock Sunday. And he's going to be singing some cowboy songs. You got to pay to get in.
I had him on the air a couple days ago.
And did he sing songs?
Well, we played a song that he sang, and he's wonderful. He's a great storyteller.
Which song was it?
Which song did we play? Was it Goodbye Old Paint? I can't remember.
That sounds sad.
No, it might have been a different one. I can't remember. I was trying to choose which one to play, but anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, he'd be playing 2 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to that Cowboys Real and Imagined exhibit at the History Museum in mid-April.
Yeah, and definitely go to Don Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. And definitely support the KSFR Fun Drive, which starts this weekend. Well, every 6 months or so, 5 or 6 months, we get on the radio and say, hey, can you chip in a couple of bucks so that we can stay on the air another half a year?
You say that to me?
I say that to everybody who's listening.
Oh, right.
And if you like the show, then pick up the phone and call. And some people have already called. But you know what I'm going to do this year, which I haven't done for several years? On Tuesday, I'm going to do Dogs versus Cats, which is better.
No, why do you do this? Why do you start antics between people who love animals, people like me who happen to have each species, and you want us to pick a favorite? That's like picking the difference between llamas and, what do you call those, alpacas?
Alpacas.
Yeah.
Because, I'll tell you why I do it. Because people like it and because it's fun. And because dogs are better.
Oh! I admit dogs are goofier and they'll look your face more fun. But when you have both in your house, there's a balance that you've achieved.
Yeah, well, you've got the yin and the yang working for you.
I've got the alpacas and the llamas. Yeah, okay, so when are you going to do Dogs versus Cats?
Tuesday.
What time?
8 to 9.
And that's going to earn money for KSFR?
You bet your sweet patooties.
How?
Because people will call in and they'll vote for dogs or they'll vote for cats.
Well, who wins every year?
Well, sometimes dogs win and then other times cats win. It's actually kind of even.
Win.
No, sometimes cats win.
Your prejudice, this is one area where, quite honestly, you are rarely biased, but in this case, you love dogs.
I love dogs, and I'm saying sometimes cats win.
Okay, I hope the balloting. What do you do? Keep a piece of paper and make marks?
Well, now we don't use the touchscreen voting systems anymore.
So?
We use paper ballots.
So how's that work?
It means that you call in, and if you pledge $50, you get 50 votes for the animal
Wait
of your choice.
Wait a minute!
It's just like democracy. The more money you spend, the more you
No, this isn't the way to do it. You've got to tell me that I caught with $5 for the kitty cat.
Then you get 5 kitty votes. Some people split their votes.
All right. So the fun
Tuesday
drive runs how long? A week?
Yeah, it's about a week.
All right.
And I'm not sure. I think it's until we get to our goal. But you know what? It's just about time to go. Robert and
Yeah, but I was going to slip on some
Thank you so much for you can slip on some for being with us on the Radio Cafe. And everybody have a wonderful day.
Rio Grande.
Ciao.